The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is, I got to remember what day it is. It is Thursday, the 2nd of July, 2026, and you are on the clock with Erin. Did you know that Gnep Lemonade going to be your savior this summer? Green. Good morning. Gnep is on the ground. Gnep is on the ground. It's a bit early. Everything is early this year, but you'll notice that everything is different this year, weather-wise, climate-wise. And if you didn't know, you should know the fruit trees if you're observing the behavior of the other living things, beings around us. But it's Gnep time, so let me start the show with a little tip. Gnep is a summer savior. Gnep helps to cool the body down, helps your body cool itself down. Gnep is perfect for overheating, right? Dehydration. For me, I make Gnep lemonade and hope that Gnep lemonade could keep me through the summer. So get your Gnep. Gnep is on the ground. It's a bit early, but they are here. In fact, I purchased some Gnep about a month ago. So this isn't early for this year because there was some early Gnep a month ago. But if you got Gnep trees, now is the time to check those trees. Mangoes are still on the ground as well. I'm hoping that you have observed. Not hoping that it's happened, but that if it's happened that you've observed that a lot of the mangoes are riper than they look. When you looking at them on the tree, they don't look like how they look when you're normally ready to pick them. But trust me, because of the extreme heat, these mangoes are getting ripe before they get full. The heat is overcooking some of the fruit on the trees. So I recommend to people that you want to test with one or two, because I've found mangoes from trees where they have just ripened perfectly where they were located. But don't let your mangoes sit too long. It may be overripe by the time you are ready to eat it. So, I was expecting a guest this morning. They are not here. So we're going to talk headlines. What's in the news? Today's Guardian headline, FNM says no to pay hike for MPs, also rejects increase for senators. That follows yesterday's article, PM mulling MP pay increases. PM mulling MP pay increases. It's become an intriguing conversation. Yesterday, Mr. Michael Pintard called in to the station to refute some of the comments recorded by the Prime Minister in reference to this subject. Like I said, for me, I would say no. I mean, I think the answer is very simple, especially after this particular 4.5-year administration. Why no? Because like a performance report, an evaluation not done by the party, not done by the PLP or the Davis administration. Like, could we get an independent assessment of the Davis administration? I just don't think that they have performed sufficiently for, and it's not the hard stuff, you know. It's not the hard stuff, it's the easy stuff, right? Like making public declarations. Like making public declarations. It's the easy stuff. Like stopping at stop signs and red lights. The easy stuff. Right? Can we create a protocol so that constituents, not by the vote, let's stop with this foolish, the vote is the test of our success. No, it's not. No, it's not. An assessment, an evaluation, the same thing that we do for civil servants. It's an annual confidential report. It is unfathomable to me that this Davis administration is the one that would put this out here. PM mulling MPs. I mean, how audacious to throw this on the table right before you go to summer break. And could somebody clarify for me the time period, the duration of this summer break? See, the pundits, the people on social media are saying a 2-month break that the House intends to break. They broke yesterday. Well, they broke on the 30th of June, right? So from the 1st of July until September. Is this true? That can't be true. They can't be going on a 2-month break. Not in the midst of all of the questions that have been left unanswered. Now, some of the questions the government cannot answer. Like the question of who is politician one, number one. Right? They can't answer that. You think the U.S. told them that? No, the U.S. ain't told them that. They can't answer that, right? But there are other things. There are other questions that need to be answered. My thing is, why are you going on a summer break? What about the people? What about the questions that we have? What about all the questions that were left unanswered? And I'm not just talking about the question time questions that were left unanswered, but all of the questions, right? Like, will Halkidis resign? Will he do the honorable thing in respect to the Westminster system? Because if the energy in the House was such that you felt a break was warranted to maintain the integrity of the House, you know what else? You could just say, hey, sir, there are far too many questions that have arisen in relation to you. Perhaps you should resign so that we could remove the focus from this issue and put it back on the people's business. I mean, this is the people's business too. So I got a text here that said July 1st through September 16th. That can't be true. Text, I'm not saying that you are not, that you are telling me a lie. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that 2.5 months vacation cannot be true. It can't be true. You can't be going on 2.5 months vacation and then have the audacity to say some of the things that you've said. Let's go through the article. PM mulling MP pay increases. Prime Minister Philip Brave Davis said that a salary and allowance review for parliamentarians is long overdue and questioned if it was, quote, right, close quotes, for politicians in the Bahamas to be paid what they are when compared to the regional salary scales of their counterparts. You know when you tell your children, I don't care about what your friend's doing. You know when you all tell your children, I don't care about what your friend mommy is doing in her house. This is our house. Yeah, that. That right there. Are you performing at the same level of your regional counterparts? Tourism would say no. Don't mind all of the awards and thing y'all get internationally. The numbers would say not performing as well as your counterparts. Davis said he will make a decision on the issue after the House of Assembly summer break. You think 2.5 months is sufficient for us to forget what we were supposed to be remembering? A draft amendment to the parliamentarians' salaries, which has been circulated to the opposition for consultation, would grant members of parliament $32,000 a year and senators $16,000 a year in allowances. It didn't say including allowances. It says in allowances, $32,000 a year in allowances. Just stick a pin. I got a text here that says 77 days vacation from working 1 day a week majority of time. Another text. Joe Beth and Brave need to resign. Another text. We should boycott this independence because we have not heard two costs the country. They got their increase in salary, so no need for putting hands in cookie jar. Also, we don't need a new House of Assembly. Get exterminated, tent place, and update inside. On the House of Assembly issue, I think, okay, so that's a historic site now. I think it falls under that legislation. There are limitations to what they can do in terms of renovating the building. At the same time, for a government that begged throughout its first term that Bahamians should focus on creating beds for foreign heads in the midst of a local housing crisis? Yeah. For them said, no, I think the condition that the House of Assembly is in is commensurate with the condition that not even the least of us are forced to live in. Right? Not even close to what the least of us are forced to live in. So maybe we also put a halt on the new parliament building. Maybe you need some pressure, and not pressure meds, some pressure to regain focus. Aaron, the PM wasn't calling for politicians' raises 9 years ago. He was against it when the FNM presented it. Why was that? I don't know why, but here references, and I want to say thank you to Candia Dames for always perking our memory. See, the press is our collective memory, and that's why we have an obligation to ensure the integrity, not just the integrity of the press, the integrity of a free press where you are free to challenge, right, the historical record with your own properly documented contribution. But we have an obligation to maintain the press because it is our collective memory. I want to thank Ms. Dames for reminding us. Quote, If Hubert Minnis believes members of Parliament cannot live on the salaries they are currently making, he should place himself in the shoes of the thousands of Bahamians who live from hand to mouth, close quotes. Opposition leader Philip Davis, 2017. Let me get back to the article. In addition, okay, so a draft amendment to the Parliamentarian Salaries and Allowances Act, which has been circulated to the opposition for consultation, would grant members of Parliament $32,000 a year and senators $16,000 a year in allowances in addition to their salaries if passed. We got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I am actually quite disgusted with the thought of this. We have so many civil servants operating, living, all expenses under $16,000 a year. Mm-hmm. That's just the ones who are, let's just say, less qualified. Let's go to the teachers and nurses and those who must have at least, and they're not making $32,000 unless they have possibly more than 20 odd years in.
Mm-hmm.
This is an insult.
Mm-hmm.
This is an insult. So I'm really not political, but I don't think we as a nation really consider when we elect folks to represent us, mm-hmm. what they're all about. And just because they gave you some jobs that you think they are set to represent you as a nation, because if it was done unscrupulously or just because I know you or you in my community, that means these folks are still not going to do the right thing for the nation as a whole. We need to be more nationally minded. We need to be more nationally minded, and only then I think our country will be better.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you for your contribution. We're going to, at some point, transition to this article. Wilson prioritized civil servants over politicians, yesterday's Guardian. That's what the caller is also speaking to. The Nassau Guardian has seen a copy of the draft bill. During an interview with the Nassau Guardian about the question from opposition leader Michael Pintard about providing a duty allowance to leader of opposition business in Parliament, which sparked the idea to increase allowances to parliamentarians across the board. Now we got today's headline. FNM says no to pay hike for MPs. FNM leader Pintard on Wednesday denied a claim by PM Davis that he initially proposed an increase in compensation for politicians, which has proven contentious since reported by this paper on Monday. Quote, he should not be a coward and try to draw me in on that, close quote, said Pintard on Guardian Radio's Morning Blend with Dwight Strawn. So we're going to go back to PM mulling pay increases. The PM lamented the fact that the salaries and allowances of parliamentarians have remained basically unchanged since the early Pindling era. He urged the media to do its own analysis of regional pay for politicians, referencing the fact that the Premier of Turks and Caicos, a country smaller than the Bahamas, makes more than double the salary of the Prime Minister of the Bahamas. Also, what you should take into account, that a country called Turks and Caicos, which is smaller than the Bahamas, is punching well over its weight, almost 10 times more than the Bahamas. The worst thing I think you did, sir, was to ask people to compare to your regional counterparts. Yeah. Turks and Caicos is punching 10 times over their weight. We barely punch out. These are the hard things we need to acknowledge before we walk into this next independence. You see what the texter said? We're still waiting for the expenditure reports for, right? The Golden Jubilee, the 51st and the 52nd independence. Now, I want you all to understand that this takes place against the backdrop, right? Where the chair of the local organizing committee for Corifta, when asked by a reporter about the audited report tabled after being produced by the Auditor General's office, he called the report garbage. And well, at least the word that was quoted was garbage. Maybe he was calling the situation garbage, right? Maybe. Hey, open to that. Because, and let me stick a pin here, because the man has gotten glowing reports, right? Like everybody I talk to get a sense of where his head is, say this boy is one of the sharpest boy, one of the most, you know, stable-headed boy in the country, right? So the audited report is tabled. He's met by reporters. His response is garbage. The minister responsible then turns around and tables an unaudited report in the House. And then we see an article that say, among a number of civil servants, and I can find the article for you, a number of civil servants, the Auditor General also received an increase in salary, which y'all call that, an increase in responsibility allowance. This is the crew that's looking for a pay raise. Here we go. Here's the article. BPSU president calls on members to march on House of Assembly in protest of unresolved issues. Ferguson drew a sharp contrast between the benefits given to senior civil servants and the sacrifices made by everyday workers. He said permanent secretaries enjoy perks such as housing allowances, full insurance coverage, government vehicles with fuel and maintenance, paid mobile phones, and responsibility allowances as high as $24,000 per year. Right? Like, let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Very special again to you, Miss Green. On this beautiful Thursday morning. Boy, yesterday was a hot one.
Mm-hmm.
I know you got one topic going on with, and one of your other favorite topics is the traffic on Shirley Street. Yesterday, I mean, it brought tears to my eyes when I saw that family going to that midship
mm-hmm.
and the father breaking down and sobbing in tears. They said, grown men don't cry. But they don't know. That's a big lie. Because
mm-hmm.
that took me back to Friday, June the 7th, the Prime Minister's birthday in 1996, while I sat on my porch waiting for a friend to take me to the Labor Day Junkaloo rush down from Bay Street to the Western Esplanade. When I got a call, and the call said, is this Vince Fountain? I said, yes, ma'am. Well, this is Miss Dorset from St. Matthew's Church. I said, how you doing? She said, there's been an accident with your son on Shirley Street. The first response was, what hospital is he to? She said, he's not to the hospital. He's underneath a white shirt up by Lee's Carpet Craft where he's been knocked and dragged over 108 feet on a street with the rate of traffic is supposed to be 25 miles an hour in a city. And the police report says that the driver, who happens to be the family's cousin, dragged my son 108 feet, even it out to some 67 miles an hour. To turn around, the lawyer for the person that killed my son happened to be the prime minister, who was also a school friend. I said, Brave, how could you do that? He said, I didn't know that was your son. I said, a boy was named Kashawn Vincent Fountain. He said, oh. But the man deserves a lawyer. I said, yes, I know that. But yesterday, Miss Green, that brought me right back to that morning. And I was laying in my bed. I was crying almost just as bad as that man yesterday.
Yes, Sparky. Mm-hmm. And I thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing that, Sparky. And I imagine that... Now, are we understanding how post-traumatic stress disorder works, PTSD, a post-traumatic syndrome disorder works, right? Because if you've been in a bad accident, or if you, your family, someone close to you has experienced a horrible accident or a death, every bad accident that you see brings that up. And I want to say, since yesterday's Coral Harbor death, or the day before yesterday, the number of accidents that have been documented. We're looking at the Coral Harbor, right? Then we have, I saw an image of two vehicles with a motorcycle squashed slightly between them and a body on the ground. The police's behavior around the scene, are police not trained to administer first aid? Are the police not trained to administer basic first aid? The scene was just devastating. Then we see an image of producer Prep the Caller, a video of a man on a motorcycle running into the back of a truck. We don't see him, a white and green truck. We don't see him get up. We see a black car that, I don't know, tried to run under a dump truck. Let's go to the phone line. I'm not finished with that list, though. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green. How you doing?
Good, thank you.
You're not the first person to, to mention these concerns, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was I'm afraid to know how long I was calling Guardian, you know, not as long as Sparky was, but the reason for talking is really, for me, I see that changes, it's hard to make changes by just T'Challa, right? But sometimes it's just to bring a level of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
You said something so profound just now that most people don't even realize that. I've been noticing that for decades, you know, where the police, they're not only not trained to do first aid, right? But it seems to me as they don't really care post. We saw the incident of the Jerome 6, and I've seen many others, right, here to the corner, right where Bamboo Shock was, in which they shot a guy, and a guy actually, one of the guys was trying to jump over the car, and he ended up underneath the car as the perpetrator reversed the car and hit a cesspit, and the impact forced him underneath the car. They sat there and watched the guy underneath the car couldn't breathe for, like, I don't know, I would say maybe half an hour. The guy just expired right in front of everybody. Nobody made an attempt to lift the car or move the car. There's numerous incidents in which I've seen this. I saw it with Avery off Prince Charles, in which I saw it with the Palmer lady who works there. That's her brother in Chippenham, with Dougal's, where they refused the ambulance drivers or the immediate response, first responders, to offer assistance to these victims.
Mm-hmm.
And this is blatant. And so and also compounding this is, as citizens, we are not allowed to have a bulletproof vest. A bulletproof vest is illegal. Well, mm-hmm. I know when I lived in the States, you could go in the shop and buy one. I'd like for someone to explain these things to me. You see, on the plantation, we didn't even have, you know, notwithstanding, we don't have a right, you know, like the, what they call it, stand your ground with the Trey Warren, the guy name, and the Zimmerman case in the States.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a right to stand your ground. So bodies will be found all around. You know, it's sickening. I mean, it's a plantation. I just thought I would be aware of that. But I said something on your show yesterday. I was sitting and wondering about democracy and hypocrisy, in which the narrative is the majority rules, right? But when you look at it, even if the majority rules, that's not true democracy, then the rights of the individual is trampled. When you read philosophy, you'll find out that all of us have rights. So if the majority is trampling on my rights, the individual rights, it doesn't count. But that's not really true democracy, because you could be right and everybody is. So I was talking about technology. I know AI and everything is kidnapping humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And the problems that it's implementing, like copyrights, et cetera, are just making us lazy intuitively. And so we are being engineered and hijacked, but everybody is just allowing technology to run away with us and blindly embracing our enslavement. But we seem to think it's a good thing. And everybody's saying yes, nobody's saying no. So maybe you and I could get together along with Seattle and do a show, not to change anything, because we can't.
To highlight.
Yeah, we're all imbeciles. We can't. We just want to let the public know that they're embracing their own enslavement in this digital capitalist surveillance panopticon. That's all I'd like to say. Give thanks.
Blessings, 52. Blessings. I appreciate that people not even connected to the families are feeling the weight of this tragedy and then what it lays bare, right? What we can no longer refuse to see after that incident. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You still there? I'm sorry that it took us so long to get to you, caller. Another text says, Aaron, the PM wasn't calling for politicians' raises 9 years ago. Another text, on the day the announcement was made. Oh, wait, hold on. Here we go. Here's a pattern I've noticed. When you ask hard questions up front, they say they just get here, give them time. If you ask hard questions a month later, they'll say, why are you so negative? If you ask the hard questions 3 months in, they'll say, we're working. And again, why are you so negative? Post-inevitable crisis that could have been resolved by an answered question, they'll say, now isn't the time. And again, why are you so negative? Repeat, rinse, and repeat. Listen, evidenced by two of the brightest stars to enter politics, Keith Bell and Mikhail Bonneby, because they'll tell you, oh, wait till the budget communication. Wait till the budget communication. And then they spend their whole time running on with foolishness. Like the youngest, brightest mind spend all their time talking about the UBP and the FNM. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Grin.
Good morning. How you do?
I can give you 3 points. I know you was in the list, right?
No, but I nosy. Go on. Go on.
Now, listen. Now, with this pay raise, mm-hmm. Now, you get your MP salary at 28.
Mm-hmm.
The PM put everybody in cabinet except for two at cabinet cost, whatever, if it's a state.
Three. The speaker, the deputy speaker, and Kingsley Smith, eh?
Okay. So, no, but the speaker get a two salary because she's an MP and she getting a speaker pay too.
Ah, okay. Go on.
Okay. So only two really didn't get their little money extra outside of the MP salary. It's those two you mentioned.
Okay.
But everybody get their increase.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you want to say, I want to increase what I already given you on more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Second point. I know you're an energy advocate.
Mm-hmm.
What I had concluded to in terms of why the humans are experiencing these energy blackouts could be due to the issue in supply versus demand.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I uncover is what we want to confirm is if what is the total percentage of EVs currently added to the market? How much of those are currently dependent on their residential energy source? How much time do they charge per month, or what is it costing them additionally on the energy bill? But outside of that, this surcharge and energy fuel cost to the country, how much added fuel is the country needed? How much is that costing the country because now the alternative power supplies are not currently engaged in terms of the energy and the solar?
Yeah.
And could this be the dominant or the root cause of why we're now experiencing structured or controlled blackouts because of when these EVs, depending on how much EVs are currently on the road,
mm-hmm.
that require dependent charging versus independent charging versus mm-hmm. commercial station charging, and how these are set up. Are these also commercial stations direct charge to the grid?
And even,
or are they set up independently to create power?
Even the ones that are not technically on the road, are dealerships required? Does the technology require you to charge these machines periodically, right?
Very good.
Yes,
very
sir.
Very good. Very good. And so I said to them, this should be sufficient to know that, okay, we have some behemoths that are critically thinkers that could provide preventative steps or question. When
mm-hmm.
you talk about scaling in, when you talk about phasing and integrating in, like I say, 4 years ago, our focus could have been on storage, distribution, improvement, and infrastructure, getting monies for that. But
mm-hmm.
being able to talk about a quick solution, yes, putting the power in the hands of homeowners, allowing them to access funding and systems to put in their homes to contribute to power production to help us some of the demand on fuel.
I got you.
Yeah,
all right.
So, we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, man. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. What is the impact of EVs, the introduction of EVs in the market on supply and demand, the capacity to meet the demand by the service providers? I got a text here that says, isn't there a law about helmets? There is a law about helmets. I suspect, man, I even feel awkward. Like, I'm trying to figure out whether I could ask this question out loud, right? But if I were a motorcycle rider, I would take every step to protect myself on these roads, because I'm not sure that the Royal Bahamas Police Force, the Ministry of Transport, and relevant related ministries care. I don't know if they care about y'all's safety on the road. The motorcycle riders, I don't even want to talk about the police's attitude towards you. On the day the announcement was made about the police commissioner, everybody was ecstatic about the historic first female commissioner. I asked then, what qualifications justify the role? Now is not the time for nice-looking PR. Why, what you mean? The whole administration, the whole First Davis team, they PR'd y'all right into a second term. Right? I want a psychologist, a social scientist, and a linguist to talk about how we confuse literal with figurative now. Because what we got over the last 4.5 years, whatever that time period was, is figurative governance, not literal governance. Here's the text. Now, the text continues. I was literally told, quote, she just get here, close quotes. Then, quote, she lead Grand Bahama, close quotes. My response, quote, crime in Grand Bahama is low but increasing, close quotes. 1.5 years later, post, quote, sky is falling, close quotes, crisis, there appears to be no plan and no visible action to address traffic chaos. Listen, not even the things they talked about in the first term. Have you heard anybody speak to line items in the budget for the less than lethal weaponry? Right? The less than lethal tools? You heard anything about that? Has anybody stated a line item in the budget, you've seen it, for fire trucks and fire equipment? Not a statement in an article in the paper from a budget communication saying we intend on getting fire trucks, an actual line item in the budget. Let's go to the text line. This huge PLP government is doing all they can to get extra money and benefits. It appears so on the surface. That's what it looks like. We're not certain exactly what's going on. And I don't know if we are trying to create parity with our regional colleagues. I don't know if that's going to be sufficient. They know that the next general elections won't be so easy for them to return. Civil servants are still waiting for a back pay and decent salary increase. No, no, and no to MPs and senators' allowance and salary increases. Another text. The text says, condolences to Sparky. The text says, I feel your pain. As the text, the police are trained to take lives, not save them. When the Pike worker was shot, the police on the scene literally... No, man. I can't read it out loud. It may impact the case. Text, let's be careful. I can be careful how I read. You be careful how you type. Thank you for sharing that. That may be integral to the case. Here's another text. Ms. Green, police are not trained to do police work. You're talking about CPR. It just goes to show that there is no law and order in this country. I drive Coral Harbor every morning and not one single police officer in sight. Why to get to Albany or Lyford Key? This commissioner has blatantly failed us. She is just weak. As we go to the break, here's my thing. Again, we're going to continue with our independence questions and talk, right? But knowing the conditions that you're working in as a police officer and knowing that you are at higher risk of being shot or injured because of the fact that you're a police officer, wouldn't you encourage your peers to learn CPR, your colleagues to learn CPR just in case they need to save your life? Or you would learn it because you may need to save one of your colleagues' lives? Wouldn't that, like, see, because this is what a psychological crisis, a collective psychological crisis looks like. We're going to a break. We'll be right back. More texts, more questions, more articles. Stay tuned. On the Clock with Aaron Green, Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
Put more money back in your pocket with the Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan. Why pay more when you can pay less? Reduce your monthly debt payments down to one low, easy payment. Apply for a Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Change doesn't happen in sound bites. It happens when people come together and actually talk. The Forum is that conversation where Bahamians from all walks of life work through the issues that affect us all, challenge each other, and find solutions together. Every Saturday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. The Forum with Ricardo Wells, coming this Saturday to Guardian Radio.
At Cleveland Clinic, not cancer. So when your journey takes an unexpected turn, you seek out the experts who've conquered it before, and you forge new paths to help fight cancers. For every route to a cure, for a care in the world. See how we're innovating cancer care at Cleveland Clinic today.
Guess who's back?
It's the time again for the 31st annual Michael Scudery Peace on the Streets Basketball Classic.
Bring it on now, let's go.
Whether you're a player or a fan, you don't want to miss this one. The action starts July 13th at the Hope Center. Log on to peaceonthestreets.com and register.
Come on, everybody, let's go!
That's the Peace on the Streets Basketball Classic.
Where we shoot hoops instead of guns.
Game time.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Struggling to find your financial rhythm? Make that move to Fidelity and let us help you orchestrate your financial goals into perfect harmony with free financial coaching sessions. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. I told you all I wanted to go through the pictures of accidents. Let's go. So we stopped at the green truck and the motorcycle that ran into, no, the black mini SUV that looked like it tried to run under a dump truck. Then there was another two-car collision. I think that's Prince Charles, a black car and a silver car. There was a red cube or boxy little car on Prince Charles that ran into a parking lot and into a fence. Then we got a silver mini hatchback, like a station wagon hatchback that hit a pole. I'm not sure where that is. It looks like maybe near roundabout. Then we have a gold-looking car on its side in the night. Then I have an image of just this guy is capturing a moment, but not the victim. Say you just went to go get a soda and a woman got knocked down. Oh, somebody sent me a picture that that cave. There's a cave in the road on East Street and Robinson Road. I think it's another image, another car on its side, a black I took a snapshot of a mangled black car, the result of an accident. There's another smash up with two silver cars. Let's see, let's keep going. Then there's a screenshot. I have a screenshot of an accident with a scooter. There's a bread truck in the image from the security camera. The guy gets knocked off his scooter. Let's keep going. There's more. There's one that I think two jitneys mash up together. Hold on, the day's not done. Another image of a vehicle on its side, I think on JFK. Another smash up of a black and silver car in the night. I think that's last night. Oh, and this one, on Bay Street, on the other side of Church Street, a smash-up with a red vehicle on its roof, and it looks like a small white vehicle, right, like they slid into the entrance to the basketball court. Now, let me tell you all something. Before they reconstructed that portion of the road between the new bridge and Hammerheads, before they reconstructed that part of the road, I used to go to Hammerheads to watch traffic accidents. So, let me tell you this. The police are very aware that that area extra attention, not just because of the way that the road is constructed, the way that it runs, but because of the speed the drivers engage. And the fact that the people like running the red light and turning rush onto Bay Street. Let's go to the text line. Good morning, Aaron. I can't imagine the speaker getting a raise. I read the text as it is. She should get minimum wage because she's not qualified. There's a text. The police told me that by law I have no rights to my children. Is this correct? And if it is, then here is the problem. If they don't want me in their life just for spite, then how can I raise them? Oh, texter, that's a question. I can bring that question up tomorrow. Yeah, that's a big one. We have to, right, like the rights of the mother, the rights of the father, the rights of the child. What are the rights of the child? Here we go. The new commissioner is just a pretty face to say first female COP, nothing more. I see no innovations. I saw a case in the Tribune pointing a gun on the police. How can this be proven when they aren't wearing body cams? He say, she say is crazy. Save time, implement body cams, protect us and them, right? The emphasis also, the body cam protects the police as well. Here's a text, remember the three brothers, 20, 23, and 24, who died on Milo Butler in September 2024. Same public outcry, same quote, we sorry, close quotes from officials. What have they done since? They haven't fixed lights. They haven't ensured that the roadway is lit up properly. They haven't ensured regular police patrols on the roadway so that you could quickly identify reckless and dangerous drivers and get them off the road. After the Agribusiness Expo, I drove up Fire Trail Road eastbound behind somebody who was so drunk, right? My only problem is I don't overtake on Fire Trail Road, not especially not in the night. And then when we got on the highway, he was in the middle of the middle of the lanes. He was riding up the middle of the line. No lights on. So when I blew my horn at him to tell him, straighten up and don't fly, but drive right, he very politely indicated that he was unaware. That boy was drunk as a skunk. Producer, let's give this caller 30 seconds. Good morning, caller. You got 30 seconds.
Morning, Aaron.
Morning. How you do?
Fine, fine. You ever ran on any job and offer more benefit or salary increase without positive provision?
Nope. Not at all. Thank you very much. As a text, Aaron, the Bahamas is the wild, wild west on the road. We are inspired by the behavior of our politicians to go ahead and do whatever we want on the road. There are no real consequences except for the loss of life and property, which is a small price to pay. Listen, we're walking into this 53rd Independence, and I am scared. Because let me tell you why I'm scared. Because people with very good jobs are doing the most silly and reckless things on the road. Like, if you have a job where you're assigned to a vehicle with a black and white plate or a white and blue plate, why would you be running red lights and stop signs? Why? Because here's what the problem is. Let me tell you what the problem is. That job is too good of a job to lose. You can lie. That's what they do. They lie about it. But if you was brave enough to run the stop sign in front of people, why you don't just be brave enough to acknowledge guilt? They lie too much. It's just amazing. People in red plates, in the magistrate plate, in the judge plate, in the justice plate, in the MP plate, in the cabinet minister plate, in the senator plate, in the big fancy law firm plate. I watched one of y'all run the stop sign by Peck Slope. And I just think, like, your messenger running the stop sign on their cell phone just yucked their car across the road to pull it on the sidewalk, and you're supposed to be one of the best in the country, in the region. I scared. Anyway, tomorrow, we're mulling some more, but we're talking culture. It's independence time, and it's time for us to decide whether we understand what it means to be free. It's been On the Clock with Aaron Green. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next. You guys have a great day, but do me a favor. Put your cell phone down while you're driving. Just start with that. You're too big and grown to be risking people's lives on the road. Have a great
day. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app. Nassau, Bahamas.